Easter, and it is like I said at the beginning, it's a really good day. Hannah and Josh are passing out some things to you right now, a pen and a paper. Don't open it up. It's on one side, you're going to see it says the impossible, and I just want you to hold on to it, and I'll direct you in a few minutes to do some things with that. I want to encourage those of you that were here at the Good Friday service. It was a really nice Good Friday service, very impactful. And a lot of folks came and they nailed some things to the cross. And I want you to notice this morning, if you were here, those things are gone. They're gone. Do not pick them up. They're taken away. Jesus has taken them away because of Good Friday, and because now, this morning, what Jesus walking out of the grave means to those of us here today. I'll give them a second to get all those things passed out. If you have a pen, you don't need to take a pen. And then when you leave, just take those pens, and if you'll put them in a box back there, that'll save us from having to go around to every seat and pick up the pens. Okay, let's pray while you're still passing out. Take from them and pray, you can do, I think, two things at the same time. Let's try. Jesus, we love you, and I just pray that you'll use these next few minutes to use the scripture and the things you've put on my heart to say. Let me say them, and the things I don't need to say, just shut my mouth. And then I pray that there'll be some people here today that you will meet in a real special way. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody still need one that doesn't have one? Okay. They're coming around. Tom didn't get one up here. Hannah, up in the front. Oh, the whole front row. Okay. Front row Joe didn't, and Tess didn't get here. Tess, we got, oh, they're coming back. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, while they're doing that, the rest of you look up here. I have things that you like, okay? I have a gift card. And today, that's the name of our thing. It's not about looking at what you've done, because see, that's what the devil does to us every day. He gets us to look at what crumbs we are. He gets us to look at how we mess up, how we did it again. You know, you ever been there where you just said, I'm going to do this, and then I'm not going to do this, and you do it again anyway. Well, I want to challenge you today to understand that today is about do-overs. It's about new starts. It's about fresh starts. So it is all going to be put together today. I'm still waiting for them. I'm buying some time so they can get you all. I didn't realize there were so many of our people that are on vacation because of it being spring break. I thought half of you would be gone, but we've got some new folks here, so we're glad you're here. Anyway, I have a Texas gift card in my hand here. I love Texas. If you ever want to tell me you love me, get me a Texas gift card. I love it. I love Pastor Appreciation Day because I get a lot of these, and Brenda and I, we burn it up. I also love Chinese, but they don't have gift cards this place where I go, so don't try to do that. But these are my two favorites, Texas Red House. I'm going to ask on the count of three to yell out your favorite restaurant. What is your favorite restaurant? One, two, three. One more time. All right, very good, very good. Okay. Did you listen to the people around you? If you ever want to show them love, get them a gift card that says whatever they said. All right, are we about done? Through the masses. Don't open up. Don't open it up. Some of you are like, well, I'm going to open up and see. You were those kids at Christmas that ripped open your paper, you know, before your parents said to do that. So what I want to talk to you today is about the greatest gift that you were ever given. The gift card is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to make certain that you redeem it before it's too late. Luke describes what took place in the day of Jesus' resurrection. I want you to understand how the deal about gift cards. Okay, first of all, they are one big business. $220 billion last year of gift cards were sold. 220. But did you also know that there was $35 billion that were never redeemed? They just went away. That's a crime. Think of how much Texas Roadhouse we could eat. Sorry. Luke 24 says this, 1 through 4. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were there wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." What a wonderful, beautiful passage. Because that passage right there is the catalyst for everything that we do. It's why we have the hub. It's why we go on mission trips. It's why we teach kids. It's why we stand up here. It's why the band plays. It's why we are supposed to treat our fellow people, humans on this earth, with love and respect and kindness. Not because of some moral code, but because God and God being good and God being who he is. That's the very reason, because he took death and slammed it, body slammed it right on the ground. He thought he was going to kill Jesus, and it didn't do the trick. So look at your card, take your card out, and you're going to see it. It says the impossible, and there's four little, what are they called, lines. Thank you. Senior moment. There's four lines. The first line, what I want you to do is I want you to write down whatever your name is. If it's Slick, write down Slick. If it's Slim or Doodah or Poobah, whatever your name is, write it down. Write it down. Now, I want you to look at that name. I want you to look at that name, the first blank of that person. Is the person who lives every day of their life with some hopes. Maybe this year is the year I get married. Maybe this year is the year our kids get it. Maybe this year is the year I find Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright. Maybe this is the year that finally our finances get better. Maybe this is, you put in the blank. But you have hopes and you have dreams. I know I'm right about that, because even if you're here today and your hope is waning, even if you're here today and you're older and you're going, "I don't know why I'm even alive." Or you're here today and you're younger and you're going, "I don't even know why I'm alive. Why am I still alive?" God has hope for you. He has hope for that name on that paper. The second one I want is a blank that I want you to write down something that you love to do, something that breathes life into you, something that you go, when you do that, you feel energized. When you do that, that's important. It's probably not for most of you. It's not your job. Maybe you're going to write down sing or spend time with family, or maybe you love people and you love helping people, or maybe it's, you put in your version of what it is. Number three. Right below that blank, the third blank, I want you to think about a dream that you never fulfilled. Probably for some of you, that might have been a long time ago. Maybe for some of you, that's today. You think about it every day. I wish that would have come. What is that dream? But, life gets in the way. You have kids. You have a job. Maybe you wanted to climb Mount Everest. Maybe you wanted to be in a bodybuilding contest, and it's not happened yet. Put that down. What it is. What is your dream? Number four. This is the last one. The last box that you see. The fourth box. I want you to fill this in. And at some point in your life, something major didn't go as planned. What you thought was going to happen didn't happen. Perhaps it was a fractured friendship. Perhaps it was a financial failure. Perhaps it was a moral failure. Perhaps you spent some time in jail. I want you to write down your greatest disappointment in life. Your greatest disappointment. Nobody's going to see these. You're not passing them in. I'm not going to go through them and look at them and go, "Oh, you scumball." What's your greatest disappointment? So there you've got our lesson today, because we're going to go right over that here in just a second. take your pen, take your little thing, and set it to the side and hold on to it. I'm going to come back. Hopefully you got it filled out. Okay, let's talk about some biblical things here today that are important for this day. I want to spend a few minutes telling you about a close disciple who felt that he was God's doing what God wanted him to do, and he failed. He failed miserably. He found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He ended up fulfilling his life. But let me tell you how he would fill in his box. His name was Simon Peter. His box would say this: Fisherman. That's who he was after Jesus. Well, his name was Simon Peter, of course, and he was a fisher of fish at first, and then he was a fisher of men as when Jesus came into his life. That's his second blank. His third blank was influence as many people for Christ as possible. Before Jesus, it was to catch all the fish you could possibly catch, pretty much like us. You know, that's our goal. Do incredible, larger-than-life things. So that was his goal. And then finally, he denied, his biggest disappointment, I believe, was he denied Jesus, that he even knew who Jesus was three times. Now, how do you recover from that? How do you recover from saying, let me tell you the story. In the verses 34 and 35, we see this in the story. He says this to Jesus. He says, Jesus says this: I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. This is right after the Last Supper, right there. And he says, you're going to not even know you knew me. But Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will never, ever disown you. That's what made it such a chump thing. Simon Peter was a chump, and he said some chumpy things. He said some things that he couldn't back up. And so the story goes, a couple hours later, we find that Jesus is arrested. Jesus is in the garden, and the disciples are running for their lives. All of them take and they scatter, even after they've seen Jesus do these kick-butt things. They've seen Jesus heal the lame. They've seen Jesus take blind eyes and open them. They've seen Jesus do some incredible things, and they all scatter when Jesus is taken into custody. A couple hours go by. Simon is sitting in the courtyard. Luke 22 says this in verse 56. There's Peter. He's trying to find out what's going on with Jesus. He's trying to kind of be a sleuth and come back and figure out what's all going on. And a young slave girl comes up and says, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, aren't you? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know Jesus. Dun, dun, dun. Number one. Peter's going, ooh, I just said I didn't know Jesus. So he splits. He goes, he tries to distance himself, and he comes to another girl, and he's sitting there. He's by a charcoal fire, the Bible says, and he's warming his hands. Verse 58. And one of the people says, well, you were with Jesus, weren't you? Weren't you one of his disciples? And he goes, no, that's not me. Dun, dun, dun. Verse 60. Sometimes later, the third person sees him, the person who saw him at the garden, and Jesus was arrested. They say, weren't you with Jesus? Nope. And as soon as he said that, oh, dang. I just did exactly, and it happened exactly what Jesus said. What in the world? That precise moment, Jesus is being moved from one place to the other. He's being beaten. His face is a mess. He's all messed up. And the Bible clearly says in Luke 22, verse 61, it says this. I think I put that up there. Yeah, I did. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Ouch. He turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. Today, even though the Lord may not be physically looking at some of you, the Lord is looking at some of you. And he's going, why? Why aren't you representing me? Why aren't you telling people about me? Why aren't you living for me? I died for you. What's the problem? Many of you in here said, I'm a believer. Sign me up. I want heaven. Yeah, I want to go there. I want to be there. But do you really, are you doing the part? Are you doing what he's called you to do? I'll never disown you. I think you've experienced just the same thing that Simon did. Where you're afraid to share your faith, where you're afraid to let anybody know who you are. I'm not talking about your political beliefs here. You're really good at letting people know your political beliefs. Most of you are lousy, stinking bad, but not about Jesus. You know, oh, it's this party, it's that party. Okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with parties. I'm just saying if you're not sharing Jesus first, he's who your allegiance is to, not to Caesar. When the soldiers came, the Bible says the rooster crowed and everything changed. And for Peter, it seemed like all hope was lost. Jesus was crucified, but that was on Friday. That was the elder service we had on Friday. But on Sunday morning, listen, church, on Sunday morning, everything changed. When Jesus walked out of that grave, he conquered death. Do not diminish that. Do not just say it's about Easter. It is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only one that's ever gone to and died and come back in all of history, in all of mankind. The resurrection of Jesus means that there's no sin anymore, there's no obstacle, there's no disappointment that God cannot forgive, heal, or conquer. No matter how big of a screw-up you are, Jesus made a bridge, and that bridge is the cross. And that cross is how we were separated, the Bible says, from God. And because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to him. And he took the thing that was standing between all of us, and that was death. The resurrection changes everything for everyone who has swallowed their pride and put their trust in Jesus Christ. The person at that top blank on your paper, the person in that top blank can be changed instantly. You do not have to be the person that people think you are, the loser. You do not have to be the stupid person in your family. You do not have to be the person that always gets made fun of. You do not have to be the person that you don't like today. Because that's some of you here today. You walked in this room, even some of you as Christ followers are coming in here with low hanging head, kind of ashamed, kind of beaten down, kind of, well, this world is beating me down. This world, there's not very many people that think like me anymore. No, there may not be, but that's no big deal. It's your job to hand out the light. It's your job to take who Jesus is and say, here he is. Part of the reason we're in the shape we are is because the last couple generations said, screw it, I don't care about Jesus. Just do away with him. I'm not going to shine the light. Somebody will make fun of me. Do you understand? That's why. And now we're sitting here wondering why our kids are struggling with knowing who they are. We're sitting here wondering why our kids are struggling with their identity. Knowing who, am I a cat? Am I a dog? What am I? Well, you're a person. Say, Jesus, when he made you, he didn't make any mistakes. But the world has told us, the devil has told us, again and again and again, you're a loser. You're a loser. You're not worthwhile. See, I believe that there's some people like Peter today that are in this crowd. Peter was glad that Jesus raised from the dead, but he was ashamed. He was ashamed because he was ashamed of his actions. He was ashamed of what he said. I'll never disown you. I never know you. I never know you. I never know you. I mean, look what he did. He denied Jesus flat out. And then Jesus looked at him. Thank God. There's an account, John 21, the story. I don't want to go into the scripture. I'm just going to tell you the gist. But John 21 tells us the follow-up story to all this. Jesus has risen from the dead. Nobody has seen him. And then we come to John 21. The Bible says it was early morning. Peter was out with some of the other disciples fishing, probably just to eat because he's confused. It's like, my meal ticket, Jesus is dead. The one who was supplying everything is dead, who said, I'm going to be there for you. He's dead. And he's out there fishing, trying to find something to eat. Pretty dejected, pretty feeling shame, not wanting to be around anybody. Can you relate? The Bible says that that morning, somebody was out on the shore. There was a man on the shore, and there was a fire. He shouted out, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. For some reason, these proud, professional fishermen, they listened to him. They threw their nets on the other side. What? Who are you, bozo, to tell us we've been out here, you know? What? Nope, they just threw him on the other side. I think something might have kicked in their head. You remember 2 years ago when this happened? When he first called us, didn't Jesus say, you know, put your nets on the other side? But Master, we've been all night. They didn't even question. The Bible says they just threw it in. And the Bible says that there was such a catch, 153 fish. And it doesn't go into size, but I'll guarantee you, men, they're going to lie a little bit. They're going to say they were bigger than they were. But these guys are fishing, 153 fish. I don't believe they're lying. They caught 153 fish. As soon as they bring them in, I got to know in their mind something's clicked. This is Jesus. And then Peter says out, it's Jesus! It's Jesus! As soon as they bring them in, man, everybody's like, what? He was dead. Can you imagine the things going off in their head? See, I think that's why we have a problem with this, because it's so far removed. We come and we take it for granted, and we come into Easter and we wear our nice things, and we come to church and we want to remember that, you know, Jesus did something, and thank you, Jesus, and we walk out the door and we go home. But I want you to understand, the disciples, this was their livelihood. This was everything that who they were was attached to this man, and it should be the same for you. Because he's not only your life, he is everything, the Bible says. He is everything. And so they come in, and Jesus is around another charcoal fire. The Bible only talks about charcoal fire 4 times in the whole Bible, and each time it's Jesus being around sometime. I wonder what these guys are thinking as they come in wet, as they jumped in the water with these fish. And here's this guy who claimed to said, I'm going to come back in 3 days. He's actually back. In every New Testament, it's such a wonderful thing to think about what Jesus did at this point, because Peter is feeling like a flop. He's feeling like I let Jesus down. Well, he wasn't holding Jesus up, and neither are you. You're not letting Jesus up. You're not holding him up. You haven't let Jesus down because you screwed up again, because you did whatever it is you did again. You're not holding Jesus up. Jesus is holding Jesus up. So he stood there. Jesus asking me a question. He says, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. No mistake, three times. Do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. What the heck is he asking? What does that mean? What does that mean? He says, go feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. What does that mean to you today? What does that mean to you who walked in here 2024? You walked in here a wreck. You don't understand your life. It's a mess. You're in an impasse with people all around you. There's people that are in your life that are speaking bad things about you. You're speaking maybe bad things about people. Jesus would say to you, not going to get you. He's saying, feed my sheep. That's it. That's all he's saying. In essence, he's saying, come back. I don't care. It doesn't matter what you did. And I'm talking to Christians first, but I'm also talking to people who are here on the fence and going, I don't even know if I believe. And he's saying to you, come home. Come home. I didn't move. You did. I made a bridge for you. Walk across it. Disappointment is never the last word in any story that God writes. Some of you are so disappointed in yourself. And it is tearing you up. It is eating you alive from the inside. You're disappointed that you're not who you used to be. You're disappointed that you did that one thing that's so hurtful that every time you think about it, you just want to cringe. And you know what that does? It keeps you at a distance from God. It doesn't bring you closer. It doesn't mean that God moved. It means that you moved. And God wants to come close to you today. The final chapter of your life has not been written. So when it comes to your dreams, don't let Satan put a period where God has placed a comma. Because there's a comma in every one of your lives here this morning. He wants you to feed some sheep. What does that mean, Jeff? If you don't know, let's chat. Let's chat. There's people in your life that God wants you to touch, to love, to be concerned for. There is people in this room that are hurting monumentally, that are going through monumental hurts and pains. And every week we walk in here and we say hello and we walk right back out with the same pains. That's a crime. That's a crime. Because the church is supposed to be the people who say, not only do I want to pray for you, what can I do physically for you? There are so many people in this room and at home that are struggling. And what that does is it makes you not effective. Your light is not shining very bright. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. And the more pain and burdens that you carry, the dimmer that light gets. And pretty soon, it just seems like Satan is it out. Today, God is calling some of you to light it back up. And some of you he's calling to say, start anew. Start all over. That's the story of Easter. Get a fresh start. Start at the very beginning. The price has been paid. The gift card has been given. It is there. It is yours to use. It is yours to redeem. If you do not redeem it, it is on you. There's still grace for you. There's still grace. What I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to pull out your paper, get your pen. I'd like you to rip open your thing. Try not to rip it too bad. There's a letter to you, and I want you to be very quiet, and I want you to fill in those four things on the front that you just writ, the impossible, and I want you to fill them in. Number one, number two, number three, number four, and then I want you to spend some time reading them. Be very quiet. Don't look around. Don't talk to your neighbor. Just be very quiet. fill in all four blanks, because there's a gift card right there for you. As the band comes, I want to speak to you just a minute. The things I want to say to you are this. That letter is a letter that's in the Word of God. It's in there plain as day. I just took it and made it into a letter that speaks to you specifically, speaks to your specific things. Some of you are in a place where you're at today, where you just don't know where you're at. You're not even sure where you're at. You feel so unsure. Every corner you turn, you find confusion. And I want to remind you today that confusion is not from God. Confusion is from the devil. If you're here and you're confused about your relationship with God or whether there is a God, understand that's natural, but it's not God. If you're here today and you're hurting, and you're fearful, and you're here today and you've had a trouble with lying, and you've found yourself lying more and more and more because you're just trying to cover up things in your life. Or you're here today and there's hate in your life because you hate someone. God wants you to redeem that gift card. He wants you to take that gift card and to turn it in. He wants you to start over. He has a plan and a purpose for you today that is so incredible. He loves you so much. Regardless of what the world says about it, regardless of what your parents may say about it or somebody in your life who said horrible things about you, God loves you so much. And he wants you not just to go to heaven. He wants you to have a life here on this earth that is full. John 10:10 says, I've come to give a full life. Christianity got so burdened down in the 70s and 80s and 90s about that, about just, it's all about going to heaven. It is about going to heaven, but it is also that life has to have some purpose and some meaning and some value to it while we're living it, not just getting by, not just going through the motions like some of you are, not just phoning it in. God wants to call you today to a different place than you are. And you know, for some of you, that'll be radical. When I mean that, it's going to really change. And for some of you, it's just going to be this little constant little things you're going to find, and they're going to fall off. And it's not anything you're going to do. It's about your life being surrendered to Jesus and saying, here I am, God. You take my life and you use it the way you want to use it. Whatever's left of it. I don't have much. Maybe I'm getting to that point in my life where I'm thinking about, you know, I'm going to be in heaven pretty soon. And why? God still is calling you today to live out your purpose. Stop letting Satan put that period. Because when you come to that period, you go, oh, I'm done. I can't. There's nothing more I got. I'm always going to be that. How can that be true? There was so much power in the Bible. We were talking about this in our group the other night. There was so much power in the group. But what the disciples didn't have was understanding. But they had power, and they didn't even know what they were doing with it. They had lots and lots of power. They could cast out demons. They could heal people. They could do all kinds of incredible things. All the while, they didn't even understand that Jesus was the Messiah. No wonder we have trouble. No wonder we get tripped up, right? Say yes? No wonder. God is here today to clear up some things with somebody. I don't know who, but I think this is your day. Let's see what God does during our ministry time. If you're here and you want to pray with somebody, or you're here and you just want to come at the altar, you're welcome to do that and just pray and seek God, or right in your seat. Let's see what God does.
Unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stand. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you. Let the whole world say what they may, no one can take this joy. Lord, I believe. Born from above, you are God's only chosen one. You're the one and only true way, way to the Father's heart. You died for all sin, then you rose and now live again, conquering death and the grave, so that I might live. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you. And I'll keep my trust in you. Let the whole world say what what they may. No one can take this joy away. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you. And I'll keep my trust in you. Let the whole world say what they may. Nobody can take this joy away. Oh, I believe.
I pray that you can sing that song and really mean it, and you can live it out. We're so glad you've been here today. If you are visiting with us today, the only thing we'd ask is you take one of these blue cards that are back on all the tables, write them back here by the blue jug and also out on every table out in the foyer, and fill your name in and just maybe your phone number, and we'll text you and say, glad you were here. That's all we'll do. We won't try to sell you any steak knives or anything like that. It's just put that in there, and then there's a little clear, I always know what to call that thing. What is it? A clear glass little box back there. Stick it in there, and we'll try to just let you know that we appreciate you. We're here today. A couple things. If you haven't figured it out by now, we're a church that very much celebrates family, all families, and we love that, and we're always a part of that. I want to recognize the family that's here. I think Ty and Caitlin, can you stand up, everybody? I want you to meet the Meyer family. They got hitched 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks? Yeah. There they are. Glad to have you guys today. And as the Meyer family, it's nice to have you guys. And then I think Mark has a birthday today. He turns that famous 62, so happy birthday, Mark. And I think Cece, happy birthday, Mark. And then Cece, is Lisa in here somewhere? There she is. Cece turns 2 today. Anybody else got a birthday while I'm on the birthdays? Okay, no birthdays. Anyway, let's watch, the Easter eggs. So we're going to give you about 10 minutes after this video to say hello to some people. And if you need to go, we understand that. But if you would like to watch the egg hunt, we're going to do it inside. It's going to be a little chaotic because it won't be out in the outdoors like it usually is, but it's just so muddy. So have your children come up on the first 3 rows here, all the way across, and Brandy will give them instructions on where to go, different rooms in the place here, okay? Give us about 10 minutes to get set, and so you can merge around and say hello to some people you don't know, and please come back next week if you don't have a church home. We'd love to have you. We meet here 52 weeks a year, okay? God bless you.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Today, after service, we're going to be having an Easter egg hunt for kids 2 to 14. Don't forget to put your dollar for Dollar Sunday in the blue clear jug in the back, and all this money goes to any ministries that are not supported by our normal budget. Saturday, April 6th, is going to be a camp work day, so if you are interested in going, please go see Pastor Jeff. Lunch will be served. Next Sunday, April 7th, we're going to be having a food truck Sunday, and Fishers of Men will be leading worship. Don't forget, before you leave today, please pick up an April newsletter of all the events that are happening here in the month of April at ICC. If you're a guest, we just want to say welcome to Impact Christian Church, and if you could, please fill out a blue connection card and put it in the clear box in the back. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Miracles. Happy Resurrection we'll Sunday! See.
You're too good to not believe. Too good to not. Thank you.
let love explode and bring the day.